You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning. Text line, Ascension Technologies text line, 251-340-1006. We got any that don't require me doing a Karen voice, we'll try to get to it before the conclusion of today's program. Joining us now on the line, very grateful he's making time for us on his busy day, but no more appropriate time than today to have him on, from the 2nd Congressional District here in Alabama, our good friend, Congressman Barry Moore. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Jeff. How are you doing, sir?
Doing well, doing well. Thank you for making time for us. We do appreciate it. Before we get into what festivities will take place tomorrow night, festivities being generous, I suppose, your reaction to Chinese spy balloon, the way that was handled by the Biden administration?
I think it was handled pretty poorly, Jeff. You know, peace through strength is something that Reagan talked about often, but continually this president shows weakness on the global stage, and it puts us at risk. It puts our allies at risk, and they knew about the balloon on January the 28th and didn't bother shooting it down February the 5th after it meandered all over the country. And I think, I tell everybody it was just a trial balloon. I think in some way China just tested in our resolve and certainly sends the wrong message, much like our evacuation of Afghanistan.
Yeah, I mean, it's not clear what they were doing, but I mean, it certainly seems possible, right, that they were just trying to make a provocative gesture, some kind of symbolic gesture. The timing perhaps has something to do with State of the Union or something else, but that it was meant to be kind of a thumb in the nose of the United States.
Yeah, I kind of take it as thumbing their nose at us, honestly. And you know, like I said, I think they're just testing us. You know, pardon the pun, but it was a trial balloon. And I think, again, this administration and leadership failed us miserably, and it shows weakness, and that puts us at danger. Anytime you do that, it puts us at risk as a nation.
Do you worry about an escalation? Do you think the Chinese are just, this is what they do, they're just trolling us or whatever, do you worry that there's something else that could come from this?
Well, you know, I don't know necessarily that anything immediately will come from it, but you have to send a strong signal when a nation's toying with you and they're spying on you and they're flying their apparatus across your country. You take it out immediately and then you ask questions later. And I think the response just shows, again, weakness. And that's concerning for me. And I think it started, you know, obviously we hire so many people in this administration based on pronouns rather than prior job performance. I think it's the indication of just how poorly this administration is handling the nation's economy, our foreign affairs, all the above.
Well, what it seems like to me, and I guess I kind of give them a pass on waiting until it got over the ocean, but you didn't want it, this giant balloon landing on somebody's house or home or whatever, but they could have shut that thing down over Alaska, right? Like, there's no reason it should have got it that far.
Yeah, I mean, the Aleutian Islands, I mean, we could have got it coming in from Alaska, we could have got it in the Midwest, and there's just thousands of acres of forest land out there. We could have timed it where we could have taken it down where nobody would have been at risk. And so my concern is the amount of time that it was over the country. What information did it gather? I don't know. DNI is supposed to brief us supposedly and let us know. But, you know, it's concerning. Like I said, we just let them kind of get away with these things. And it's like a bully in a playground. Until you punch back, they just keep pushing, you know.
Joined by Congressman Barry Moore here on the program. Congressman, Biden's State of the Union address tomorrow night. I'm hearing that there's some last minute scrambling to try to get some language in there about this spy balloon incident. But what are we to expect? What are you expecting?
Well, I think obviously it'd be a lot of spin. I mean, I don't know how you address, you know, the issues that this administration has created for the American people, whether it's, you know, 40-year high on inflation, the highest gas prices on record, that sort of thing. And then, of course, you know, the fentanyl crisis we're having, 107,000 people died from overdoses last year. And open border, we've had 5 million encounters. There's one crisis after another, and I tell everybody with this administration, it's just one crisis after another. The Chinese air balloon is just another crisis that we seem to respond miserably to. And I expect them to try to spin it. And maybe he even tries to sound tough on China tomorrow night, but I think the ties of this administration to China, it again, it weakens our country and puts us in a terrible position.
There's a lot of speculation. I mean, is it possible that, you know, Joe Biden and maybe some prior business dealings or whatever it is, there's like some weird circumstances involving this president, his son, and the communist Chinese. Is that leverage? I mean, is that like, well, we don't want to make them too angry at us, so we're not going to shoot this balloon down immediately, but the way these decisions have to be made, right? It's life or death, right?
I think so, and I think too, maybe the Chinese know they can push him because they have so much information on him and his son and their dealings that they just want to put him in a bad spot and continue to show that they in fact do control this administration more so than maybe we would like, for sure.
Well, and you know, like I said, if it does escalate, there's no reason to have much stock in this administration to do the right thing. But something else, Congressman, and this kind of goes along with the theme of the CEU address. I mean, we did see this chief of staff step aside. He's got a new chief of staff. Does it just seem like typically these administrations, you do have a little bit more turnover? Is it fair to say maybe they need some new blood or something in there, somebody besides Mayorkas or Buttigieg or whoever it may be to come in and fill some of these high-level cabinet roles?
Yeah, it goes back to hiring people that are qualified. I mean, some of this administration, they hire based on some people checking the boxes, but one of the cues are to be qualified to do the job. And like I said earlier, let's not hire based on pronouns. I don't care about your sex, your race, your gender, your religion. I want to know if you can do the job. The American people's safety is at stake, you know? And so, to me, it's more about really hiring people who can do the job rather than hiring somebody that has to fit a certain category and political correct hires, because we are seeing time again, whether it's Mayorkas, Buttigieg, whoever it is, they are not qualified to do this job. And in some cases on the border, it almost seems like it's intentional, Jeff. That's a concern for me.
Well, I'll honor Mayorkas. Long before he was Department of Homeland Secretary, he was an ideologue that believed in open borders, lax border enforcement, that we need to be more accepting. Like the ideological aspect of a guy like that in charge of Homeland Security, it was peculiar, but we're really seeing like a total transition from the Trump administration to the Biden administration. It was night and day, and they just, even though some on the left say, you know, this is kind of crazy, they don't seem to be willing to budge on policy.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Why not just enforce the laws regardless of your ideology? We have laws in this land that need to be enforced. You take an oath of office to do that, and I think that's the problem. It's become political with them, more so than really what's best for the American people, enforcing the laws on the land. And again, that puts us at risk. We're seeing the overdoses. We're seeing the people pour across the U.S. southern border, and we're making the Mexican drug cartel wealthy in the process.
Yeah, and you know, that's the other thing that it seems to be a big consequence here. Maybe not so much. I mean, obviously, immigrants are going to place a toll, a burden on infrastructure, on school systems, on public safety, et cetera. But the drugs that are coming across the border, and it looks to me like, Congressman, that some of this fentanyl coming from across the border is even making its way to Alabama and impacting schools and other places.
Yes, really, Jeff. I mean, you think about Nixon started a war on drugs, and we had 6,700 overdoses 50 years ago. Last year, we had 107,000 people poisoned from fentanyl that's coming across the U.S. southern border, and we seize 2,200 pounds a month down there. We seize enough in Birmingham to kill every single man and woman and child in Alabama. And so the drugs are not staying on the border. They have been shipped all over this country, and we're seeing, and it's getting younger and younger. The kids that are taking this, 14-year-olds, 15-year-olds, we heard from the family, the Dunn family, this week in Judiciary, we started hearing on borders, and these kids are getting stuff they think might be a Percocet, and we don't want our kids doing that in Xanax, but they look online, they see that, and then they're poisoned and they die instantly. And so it is a danger for our country not to shut the border down and certainly seize these drugs. And I think sometimes maybe the leadership is naive, but sometimes Jim Jordan thinks it might be intentionally. It concerns me for our country, for our young people, and certainly the 5 million people, the encounters we've had on that border. You know, they're going to put a burden, like you said, on health care and education. I mean, we as taxpayers, you pay about 50% of your income on taxes and taxes on everything you buy. And now we're sending that money to fix other countries' problems. Well, we got a southern border that's wide open. We could spend $4 billion to secure the U.S. southern border with the wall, and we spent $100 billion in Ukraine. It just doesn't make sense. It makes me wonder what this administration is doing.
Congressman, you just mentioned Ukraine, and does it feel like there is an escalation there, a mission creep perhaps? Where we began and strong condemnation and sending money, and now we're sending tanks. I mean, where do you see that going?
Yeah, I don't see it going well for us, Jeff. I don't know exactly. Again, just the weakness on the balloon. I think our poor energy policy, the way when we left Afghanistan the way we did and left 1,000 Americans behind and billions of dollars worth of equipment, it was at that point that Putin decided to mobilize to the Ukraine border. And so, again, one misstep after another by this administration continues to create big problems with us from a foreign affairs standpoint, geopolitical standpoint. And sending jets and tanks, that drags us further into this. And I don't know how it ends well for us.
Well, and the fear, I guess, would be, do we worry about sending boots on the ground or something like that? I mean, is this provocative in the sense that it could cause Putin to lash out at another European, maybe even a NATO ally? And then, I guess, by statute or by treaty, we're obligated, right?
That's right. If he attacks a NATO ally, we are obligated. Unfortunately, or fortunately, either way you want to look at it, Ukraine, the money we've sent over there, that money has had very little oversight, and we don't know where it went, and I don't know that it's being used effectively. I talked to a soldier out of my district, and they tell me they're parking this equipment at night in the field, and it's disappearing the next morning. This is American military equipment, but we really don't know where it's winding up. And so there are so many things that concern me about the way we're handling this. And again, I think General Milley and Lloyd Austin have failed the American people tremendously in this process, and we got to continue to have hearings trying to find out. We at least want oversight on the money and how it's being spent. That's what we're asking for, and we don't want to spend another dime in Ukraine. Many of us don't until we know where the money's being spent and how it's being spent.
But, I mean, it's not clear to me either, Congressman, like what the mission is. Like what is a win? Is it just ending the conflict and stay where the status quo is? Or is it regaining the territory the Russians had taken? There's some talk about Ukrainians trying to take back Crimea. That hasn't been clearly defined. At least what does our government, or what do you think our government views as the objective here?
Well, certainly, I don't know about Crimea if we necessarily view that as an objective, but certainly having Russia stop their offensive, attacks into Ukraine would be a good place to start and see peace on that front. But again, with Crimea, I don't know for sure I guess we'd like for Russia to pull back and stay out of these nations and states and quit invading them. But at this point right now, just if we could see where they would stop the aggression and back up and pull away, I think in some ways that's a win for us right now.
Yeah, well, but you see the problem. It is, you and I just talking about it, but I haven't heard any Biden administration official or anybody clearly articulate like what it is. It's just, yeah, we're going to demagogue Vladimir Putin, and I get all that. That's fine, but like, what exactly are we trying to set the Ukrainians up to do here?
Yeah, I don't know, and I think that's the thing. I think that's the question that the Joint Chiefs need to answer. Exactly what do you consider a win? And we had hearings when this first started, and we've requested oversight on the money being spent, and we've yet to get a win in that. So I would think certainly if we could stop Russians' aggression into Ukraine, but we need to get a clear definition. We don't want this to be like the Vietnam War where it just drags out and drags out and drags out. And it seems like often we get in these endless wars, and it costs us American soldiers and certainly a ton of money. And So I think at some point we have to come up with a definitive, hey, this is a solid investment for the American taxpayers. We're at $100 billion. We need to have an end game and figure out what that is and work towards that and get this thing settled once and for all and have an answer going forward. I think that's a good question, Jeff, something we need to be asking.
And just a couple of minutes here remaining, Congressman, but what else are you looking for? We hit China, Ukraine. What else are you expecting? Anything else out of Biden that's going to be meaningful?
No, not really. It's kind of frustrating because I know some of the members don't even want to go here because, they try to spend this stuff, but, I mean, the American people are suffering. We see that. And so You know, I'm glad that we have a Republican majority now. We can stop some of the runaway spending, but I don't know what the president's going to hit on. Obviously, I think they're having to change the speech based on China right now. I think Secretary Blinken was headed to China before all this happened, so I'm sure they'll be trying to spin that somehow, some way, to try to make it sound like we're not weak and we haven't missed the ball on how we handle that. But, you know, I'm not expecting a whole lot out of him. I'm expecting a lot out of us in the majority and out of the Judiciary Committee this year. And so we've got our work cut out for us. We certainly going to need the prayers and wisdom and make sure that we move forward in a proper way for the American people, because it's challenging times for our nation, no doubt.
I mean, is there anything Biden can say short of Kamala Harris and I resign that will make you feel better about this? This is kind of a question I pose to my audience, but, like, what can Biden say to make even his political opponents feel better? I don't know.
Yeah, I think he'd get a standing ovation if he stood up and said he was resigning.
Yeah, I mean, that's all I could figure as well. So I guess it remains to be seen. Hey, Congressman, we got to leave it there. You've been very kind to make time for us this morning, but let's talk again soon.
Thank you, Jeff. Have a good day, and keep us in your prayers, please.
We will. Congressman Barry Moore there. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
A couple guys in first class on a flight from New York to Los Angeles, kind of making small talk, killing time, flirting with the flight attendant.